So we're going to talk about heaven today, and you may be thinking, like, why are we going to talk about heaven? And the reason is how we, you know, what we believe about eternity and what happens after death, that will determine how we live right now. And so what we believe about the afterlife, and everybody thinks about it. Don't let anybody fool you. Everyone thinks about it. Everyone lays in bed at some point in their life and is like, what happens when I die? What happens next? Everyone, the Bible says that God has put eternity into the heart of man. So everyone thinks about it. And so we're going to talk about that, particularly about heaven. Now, I want to give a disclaimer starting out. I cannot do it justice, okay? There is no way I can do it justice. The Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind can imagine what God has prepared for his people in heaven. All right, now you just let that simmer a little bit, okay? There's nothing I can do it justice, but I'm going to do the best I can to give you a taste and get you excited about it, okay? So when I was a teenager, I used to go to every single Bread of Life concert. They're a Southern Gospel Quartet. Does anybody know? We have four people. Hey, all right. They were from Morgan County, and it just happened to be that Bruce Googe, one of the guys in it, was like my dad, okay? He like raised me, and so he took me to every single show. And so me and Kirk, we'd sit on the front row, his son, and even when I was a teenager, I was like, oh, this is great. No, really, I thought about, though, like I wondered this at that age. Why is every song about heaven? Have you ever wondered that? Like 99% of the songs in Southern gospel music is about heaven. Has anybody noticed that? Beulah Land. Oh, watch out. Watch out now. Woo! I'm about to start singing up in here, all right? But every single song, and as a teenager, it didn't connect with me because I'm like, who wants to die? Like, life is awesome. I sleep and play video games in bed. Like, who wants to lose that, right? As a teenager, I was like, I have no bills. I didn't know what responsibility was. It was like, hey, this is weird. All these old people talking about dying and going to heaven. Like, I'm good, you know? Like, God, don't take me yet. I'm good, you know? But here's what I learned, and this is where I'm going with this, is that as I got older, I'm 36. I'll turn 37 this year. As I've gotten older, every year that I get older, the more suffering I see, the more suffering I experience, and the more ready for heaven that I am, all right? Now, young people, you don't get it yet. You will. You'll get it, but when you have family members who are dying and people who are sick, my mom fell this week and broke her foot. Been at the hospital the whole time with her, and she's got a cast, and I hate to see her crying. You know, it's just part of it. It's like, man, you know what? One day we're going to be in a place where that's not going to happen anymore, and it gets me fired up. So we're going to start today. We're going to be excited. So we're going to start today in John chapter 14. I'm going to read through these verses, just a few verses, and we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to talk about what it looks like. That's where we're going first, is what is heaven, what's the deal with it, and what does it look like? And I pray that some of you are going to learn some stuff today, some of you are going to be reminded of some stuff today, and I'm hoping to answer some of your questions that you maybe have thought about before. So first of all, let's look at John 14, verse 1 says this, is Jesus talking. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and the word mansions there can be translated rooms, living spaces, etc. He's saying there are many places for you. He's saying there's room for everybody, all right? You catching that? That's where Jesus is going. He said, in my Father's house, there is plenty of space, yo. That's my translation. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare. Everybody say prepare. Everybody try it one more time. Prepare. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's going to prepare a place for us. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, I love this. This probably would have been me putting my foot in my mouth if I was there. And he's like, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. Let's just pause for a moment. You ready? I am the way. I'm the path. I'm the door. I'm the gate. I'm it. He says, I am the way. I am the truth, not a truth. Not one of many possible truths. I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that is like punch in the throat, right? Spiritual throat punch, okay? And today a lot of people don't know how to stomach that. A lot of people are like, man, that Jesus cat was like in your face. But he says it very clearly. So let's talk about what do we learn from this. First of all, we learn this. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place, okay? There is really a place called heaven that we will be. And even though it's a spiritual place, it's also there. It's a physical place. And don't ask me how that works together. I don't know. But there will be a physical place. We will go there, okay? And we will be, it's a real place. It will not be, contrary to popular belief, it will not be boring. How do I know this? Here's how I know this. There will be laughter, joy, fun. Because James says that all good gifts come from above. Those are God's gifts. He created them. I believe Jesus laughed a lot. It will be laughter, joy, the joy of the Lord. There will be no sickness. No death, no pain. Now that one right there, if you've ever suffered, then this one gets you fired up. There will be no sickness, no death, no pain. Revelation 21:4 says that he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more sorrow. Look at it right there. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Whatever pain you felt this week, it won't be there anymore. No matter if it's physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, it'll be gone. That's pretty awesome. There'll be room for everyone. I think that's a big question. I think deep in our hearts, we really long to know, is there a place for me? I think when people come to church, if you're here and you're a regular, listen up. I think when people come and visit, they're wanting to know, is there a place for me here? Do I belong? And in heaven, there's a place for everyone. God is preparing a place, and I want you to know that as his people, we must prepare a place for everyone. And so it's our job, our responsibility here, when people come in, that we make them feel welcome, that we make them know they're accepted and there is a place for them. If we want to be like God, which I hope we do, there's a place for everyone. And then I think the biggest question that we all really are wanting to know, I want to put everybody at ease, there will be food there. Do I get an amen? Huh? Yeah, do I get an amen on that? Huh? Hey, the Bible says, you don't believe me. Matthew chapter 8 says that we will recline at the dinner table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Luke 14:15 says, blessed are those who break bread in the kingdom of God. There will be food. Now catch this. Our bodies won't need it to survive. It'll be purely for fellowship, joy, fun, eating food together. I did a whole sermon on that. If you don't remember that, then I'll do it again sometime, all right? There will be food in heaven. Praise the Lord. So say we all. There'll be unimaginable beauty. Catch this. Think about this with me. The Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine. Now follow this. There could be new colors that we've never seen. There could be new smells, new senses. There could be new animals. We don't know. You got excited just now, didn't you? What's up? Hey, may the Lord, that was worship right there. May the Lord receive your worship and excitement. We can't imagine. I just like to give us just a little glimpse. Like imagine right now if you could travel anywhere in the world and see anything you wanted to for free right now. How beautiful that would be. Like, dude, I would be like in Paris. I want to see the Eiffel Tower. I want to go to Japan. I want to see the culture there. I want to see the Great Wall of China. You know, I want to go to Israel. I want to see where Jesus was baptized. Like, all of that overwhelms me. Like, I have a bucket list, like, yay long. And, like, I would, but that is just a glimpse of what beauty in heaven would be like. Unimaginable beauty. And a lot of people like to argue about this. I've had people try to argue. I don't argue about it. But they say, like, is there really going to be streets of gold? The Bible says there's streets of gold. Now, catch this. I really believe there's going to be streets of gold there. And here's why. the passage where he talks about it in Revelation, it is so detailed and so specific. I find no reason at all that you would want to take it as allegory. Like, he's like, John is given a rod to measure the distance of the kingdom. That's pretty specific, all right? So he's measuring in cubits how big this paradise, this city that God's designed is. And he goes into extreme detail about the streets of gold, the crystal sea, the types of rocks that go into the gates. Like, it's so detailed, I believe it's absolutely real. God created it all anyway. So I believe that it will be there. Maybe, let me ask you this. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently to sickness or death. You know, maybe you've sat at the bedside. I have numerous times in the past couple months. You sat at the bedside with someone who has an oxygen mask on, IV in their arms. They look bad. In heaven, they will be perfect. And just let that, like Philippians 3 says, that Jesus will take our lowly earthly bodies and transform them into glorified, perfect bodies. They will be perfect. Now that fires me up. I lost both my grandmothers within a 6-month period. I can't wait to see them. And they're going to be perfect. And whatever you battle today, whatever you struggle with, listen, every battle will be defeated in heaven. So whether it's depression, anxiety, whether it's lust, whether it's envy, whether it's greed, whether it's pride, whether it's creditors annoying you, whether it's the need for approval from others, whatever it is that drives you nuts, it will be defeated in heaven. That fires me up. Addiction, that's right. Every addiction. Every addiction. We don't even know what that would look like, do we, man? There'll be no need for jails. There'll be no need for people to go to the jail and share the gospel. It'll be perfect. Now that fires me up. Now I just want to say, now we have this image of this beautiful, perfect kingdom that God's created. And he's preparing us a place in it. So what do we do with that? What do we do with this huge painting that we just painted? What do we do with it now? How do we apply that, interact with that, prepare for that? Well, let me share with you. I want to read you a verse in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 verses 2 through 4 says this: set your mind on the things above. I want you to say that with me. Say, set your minds on the things above. Let's do it one more time. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So we are to put our minds on the things above. But so often we are consumed with the to-do list of today. And that's absolutely normal and it's absolutely human. And it absolutely is a failure that drives us all nuts. Do I get any amens on that? He says, put your mind on the things above. See further. See bigger. I always find it interesting when I've spent time praying on my knees that I see things a lot more clearly than when I'm on my feet trying to get my to-do list done. That's a freebie there. Perspective changes everything. So put our minds on the things above. So to illustrate this, I want to do something right now. Isai, Brian, would y'all come up here real quick? I'm going to illustrate something real quick. I want to make sure this point gets home, okay? So he says, set your mind on the things above. Yeah, get that rope, Big Daddy. Come on over here. Just carry it all the way over there. All the way across stage. Keep going. You can stop at the edge. Don't fall off. There you go. Pull it tight. Raise it up. All right. Now I'm going to make a point here. So check this out. Imagine this rope. It could go all the way around the room. But imagine this rope is time, eternity. Imagine. So you have eternity past, before God created the earth, before he created the heavens and the angels, and you have eternity past, you have God himself. And then you have creation, and then you keep moving along. You have Adam and Eve, you have Abraham, you have the flood, you got all these things. You remember, then maybe we've got World War I, World War II, whatever. We just keep going. And let's say we get to this little knot right here. This little knot is you and me today. This is our entire life. this knot. See how big that is? Can you even see it? Can you see the knot? Maybe if I hold it like that, can y'all see it? It's so small. Like this little sliver is you and me. Now let me ask you something. In the view of eternity, what really matters? In view of eternity, if this is us right here, let me ask you this. If we're talking about thousands of years, does it really matter what your credit score is? Now, before all the money people in here start lecturing me, I know it's important. Okay, got it. All right. But listen, does it really matter? I'm going to give you free. I'm going to share something with you, okay? One of the biggest fights me and my wife ever had was I am Dave Ramsey, gazelle-like intensity, trying to get out of debt, and her family needed money in Venezuela, and I didn't want to send it because I'm like, we got to get out of debt. We got to get. And she's like, my family needs food, and you're worried about your stupid credit score. I repented. It was very selfish. It didn't matter in the scheme of things. But we get consumed with it. Does it really matter if you're 10 minutes late somewhere? Does it really matter if your kid didn't make the travel team? 100 years from now, is anyone gonna know who won the NBA Finals? Probably the Warriors because they're like they won like 20 years in a row. But anyway, is it really going to matter? No, okay? Most of the things we're concerned about will not matter. But let me ask you this. What will matter is how we use this little speck of a life to make much of Jesus. What will matter and will echo in eternity is, did we love well? Did we give well? Did we help others? Did we serve well? And did we point people to Jesus? That is what matters. Because 100 million years from now, all that's going to matter is who's in heaven, God and people. That's it. Now, if you didn't like the rope illustration, let me give you one more. Just leave it here. This is for double effect, okay, guys? James chapter 4, 14 says this. Your life is a mist here today and gone tomorrow. That's you. You're dead. You see that? Let's do that one more time, okay? Watch close. This is my life and this is your life in compared to eternity. It's gone. How did we use our? That's what matters. Thank you, guys. Y'all can have a seat. All right. Thank you so much. That's what really matters. How do we use our vapor of a life? So Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Now, here's a common misconception about heaven that we have to face, we have to confront, is this. For some reason, we all believe, or our culture believes, that it's like the default landing zone. That everyone who dies is just going to, poof, be in heaven. And that's not scripture. That's not truth. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? Jesus teaches the opposite, and I shared it last week when we talked about hell. He said, wide is the road, and many are on it who are going to hell. And narrow is the road that goes to heaven, and there are few that find it. Heaven is not the default landing place, okay? It's a prepared place for a prepared people. That's what Jesus is saying. There's two types of preparation here. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you a place. And he did so much to prepare. He gave his life on the cross. He was buried for 3 days and he rose again and he overcame sin, death, and hell. And he took the penalty of our sin. He became sin. Like, do you catch that? Like, he didn't just take our sin when he was on the cross. He became our sin to die for us. That's why God had to turn away and abandon him. He could not look on sin. And at that moment when the sky went black and God turned his face, Jesus became our sin. He who knew no sin became our sin so we could become his righteousness. That's not fair, but it's awesome. So he's preparing us a place. But we have to prepare for that place. And how do we do that? It's simple. It's not easy. It's simple. We turn from our sin and we turn to him. That's how you prepare. I'm going to read a verse to you. Actually, I'm going to focus on verse 6 really quick. Let's put John 14:6 right here. I just want to marinate on this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. That's not popular. A lot of people won't think you're cool if you say that. That's what Jesus said. So if you're a follower of Jesus, then you got to deal with that. You got to have a box. You got to put that somewhere, guys. He says, I'm the only way. And if there was another way, if heaven really is just kind of the default landing zone, then that was a really bad joke that God played on Jesus on the cross. And then the worst thing we could ever do is to tell anybody the gospel. Because if they're going to go to heaven anyway, then why give them the opportunity to reject it? So if that's the case, if everyone's going to go to heaven, then if someone comes up to you to share the gospel, plug your ears and rah, 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 and just run away. So then in your ignorance, you can go to heaven, but that's not how it is. Jesus is the only way. And that's why he said, you need to go tell everybody. He said, you need to share with everyone you can from every nation, every country, every language, your neighbor, your family. That's hard. He's the only way. Now, I want to share one more scripture with you. Let's look at it. Romans 3. Romans 3 says this. For everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. I'm going to stop there. Everyone has sinned. I have sinned. You have sinned. Your mom sinned. Your dad sinned. Your third cousins. Everyone has sinned. If you're alive, you've sinned. And if you're alive, you probably do it daily. We all fall short. We cannot make it to heaven. We're not able to keep the standard. We're not good enough. No one is. We can't perform to perfection and make it to heaven. That's why, look at this. The beauty of it says, for we, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Welcome to the human race. Be encouraged. That's not depressing. That's encouraging, okay? We're all in the same boat. That's what I'm trying to say here, okay? So no one's better than anybody. No one's less than anybody. We're all human beings. We're all people. All right, so welcome. Join us. And then he says this, verse 24, yet God, I love that, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Jesus is the way. God makes us right with him when we put our faith in Jesus. That is how you prepare. That is how you prepare. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And as awesome as it is, and I pray that it gets you fired up to just think about it and to think about letting go of the struggle and letting go of the sorrow and letting go of the sleepless nights and letting go of the heartache and what it'll be like to be there. But we have to be prepared. Have you prepared? Are you prepared? That is a huge question, and it has huge implications.